Oh, okay. Okay. Let's pray. So, Lord, we're excited when we open up your word because you love to speak to us in your word. And it's there's so much more life in the word than whatever the world can try to say to us. So, Lord, give us ears to hear as we're about to read and a heart that's ready to obey. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. We are so blessed to be able to come together and open up God's Word. As what we talked about just a few moments earlier in the service, there are parts in the world today in which you cannot do that in relative safety. I mean, it's been in the news a couple of weeks ago that there was that American pastor, Pastor Brunson. He was in Turkey. He was just mentioned Jesus, and they arrested him. Without any due process, without any charge, they held him for 2 years. I mean, can you imagine? Just held him and 2 years until recently our president negotiated his release. And all that is to say is that for every person like Pastor Brunson, there are countless other Christians that are being persecuted in silence, and we need to keep them in our prayers. So we are blessed to be able to come together and even have a Bible and open it up and to read. It's a blessing, and get this, it can also be a curse. You say, what are you talking about, curse? Well, there's a danger, and James seems to allude to it in this epistle. When you have access to God's Word and you hear it over and over and over again, and you don't do anything with it, the danger is that your heart can become hard. And I don't want that to happen this morning. So the title of this morning's message is Growing in the Word. We're only going to cover three verses. Actually, this is kind of the first of a type of mini-series. We're going to spend 3 weeks talking about how to grow in the Word. So let's look at our passage together. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 19, James writes this, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness," that's gentleness, "the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." And I'm just going to read a little bit further to kind of let you know where we're going in the next couple of weeks. Verse 22, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, walks away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of this work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." So growing in the Word, let's start off with verse 19. It starts off by saying, "So then." A lot of your translations say, "Therefore." I think the King James says, "Wherefore." Same thing. Whenever you see the word "therefore" in the Bible, a cool little Bible study technique is to look at what it's there for. In other words, what comes before connects what comes after. There's causation here. And what you need to understand, first of all, is two things. In verse 18, he talks about the word of truth. So that's the context here in the verses that we're looking at. But also, the greater context is spiritual growth. James has been talking about how we can grow spiritually. And so far, he's talked about two things, trials and temptations. We talked about trials. God allows and sometimes even brings trials into our life to help us to grow. He doesn't want us to be wimpy Christians. He wants us to be able to grow strong. And you grow strong not by reading a book, but by going through trials. And yet God knows exactly how much each and every one of us can take. He's a good father. He's got this. He knows what you can handle and what you can't. And we ought to take heart at that. So he wants to produce something called patience. Remember that? And he says, when patience has its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete. I mean, he wants us to grow. We spent 3 weeks talking about trials because if you don't handle a trial correctly, it can easily turn into a temptation. And that's the second thing we talked about. Temptations don't come from God. We looked at that passage. When someone is tempted, let no one say he's being tempted by God, because God does not tempt. God is not tempted, and he does not tempt anyone. But rather, that person is carried away by his own desires or lust or flesh, and the enemy uses that. Well, let's add one more thing. Let's add spiritual food. That's another way God helps us to grow. Eating is pretty important, right? Physically, if you don't eat, you die. Well, spiritually, it's important as well. We need to eat, and it's important to eat spiritual food, talking about the Word. And there are two types of spiritual food mentioned in the Bible, milk and meat. And here's the thing. If you've been in the faith a long time, it might be real easy to kind of look down on milk. Well, that's for babies. Both are important, okay? When someone is new in Christ, they need the milk of the Word. But when someone begins to grow, they need a little more meat. Both are important. But what really matters, okay, is our attitude. Is our attitude. Here's a great verse. It's out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow. It's not telling us that we need to become like a baby, but as a newborn baby desires mama's milk, we need to desire God's Word. That's what that verse is saying. So it's all about our attitude. And before we talk a little bit more about attitude, let me talk about self-deception just for a moment. You know, the devil can deceive us. I think we all know that, but it's really tragic when people deceive themselves. And it happens all the time, especially today. A lot of people think that they're saved when in fact they're not. And Jesus said of that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do this and that and that and this? To which Jesus will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. That's why we need to tell people the truth of God's Word. Not just what people want to hear, but the whole truth. I mean, yes, talk about the love of Christ and His grace and His mercy and all that other stuff, by all means. But don't forget to mention what will happen to people who reject God's Son and the wrath of God. That's the part that we often leave out. And by leaving it out, we allow people to deceive themselves. Here's a couple of verses that you find in our passage. Verse 22, be doers of the Word and not hearers, deceiving yourself. Verse 26, if any among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. I think it goes on to say his religion is useless or worthless. You know, it's possible for a believer to be self-deceived, to think that they're perhaps more spiritual than they are. I mean, read the book of Corinthians. I mean, you read about all this petty fighting and backbiting and all this other stuff. My baptism is better than yours. And they were fighting over communion. Remember that? We're about to have communion. They were actually getting drunk at God's table. And they were fighting over spiritual gifts, which one's better than which. And that's where Paul mentioned his whole love chapter. So it is possible not just for unbelievers to be deceived, but for believers to be deceived as well. And it all comes down to our attitude toward the Word. So let's look at these verses a little more closely. Verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, verse 21, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. And here's what I want you to hear. And receive, notice receive, with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. That phrase, implanted Word, is an agricultural term. It describes planting a seed deep down and deep so its roots can go down. And who can't help but think of the parable of the sower? We're talking about attitude towards God's word. Well, Jesus told a parable. He said a sower went out to sow his seed, and he tells us later that the sower was the Son of Man himself, and the seed is the word of God, and the seed lands on four different types of soil. Remember that? Some on the hard soil, the beaten path, they can't even penetrate, and the birds of the air come and take it away. And some people are like that. They have a hard heart. Then there was a rocky soil. It penetrates a little bit. It springs up, but in the heat of the day, it withers away. Then there's the seed that falls among the thorns. Remember that? And it grows up, but the thorns, the worries and cares of the world choke the word away. And then finally, some land on the good soil and produces a crop of 160 and 30-fold. And remember what Jesus says after that? He says, "He who has ears, let him hear." And the disciples then come to him and say, "Lord, why do you speak in parables?" Remember that? And this is what Jesus said. I don't know if I want to read all of it. I think you can kind of get the feel when he quotes Isaiah in verse 14. He said, "The prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive.'" That's the short answer of why I speak in parables. You know, and that doesn't really kind of make sense. I mean, really think about that for a moment. Hearing you will hear and not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. I mean, what's going on here? And then he goes on, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they shall see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should hear that." I can't even talk. Heal them. Here's what Jesus is saying. Why does he speak in parables? Not everyone that came to Jesus really wanted to hear what he had to say. They came to listen, but they came to trap him with his words. They wanted to find something that they could use against him. They didn't really want to hear truth. And Jesus knew that, so he told parables so that the meaning would just go right over their heads. Whereas the ones who really wanted to hear God's truth, they would hear the parable, it would go down deep in the good soil, and the Holy Spirit would begin to grow that word and the meaning of the parable. That's essentially what Jesus was saying. And when I think of fruit, I also think of this verse, John 15:5. It's a memory verse. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." I wish we would really believe that last part. Without me, you can do nothing, because it seems like a lot of us, myself included, sometimes act as if we can do a lot of things on our own and do just as good a job. Apart from him, we can do nothing. So let's talk about attitude. And this is really kind of where I want to end, and we'll take this up next week. Verse 19, here's the key. "So then," or "therefore, my beloved brethren," in light of the word of truth, he says, "Let every man," hear this, "be swift to hear, slow to speak," and we'll cover slow to wrath next week. So I really want to just touch on those last two things, swift to hear and slow to speak. That's the right attitude we need to have. Swift to hear. What do you think of when you think of swift to hear? You know, we have little Bonnie here, and Anna, you might be able to relate to this, and this is, I remember just like it was yesterday, and every mom here could probably easily identify with this, and probably Emily can too. Our first church was Liberty Hill, and we have Christy, and Christy was just a baby, and we had a fellowship hall that was kind of big. We just built it, and it had a nursery off to the side, and Anna would hand off Christy to the nursery care worker, and she would mingle with the people in the fellowship hall. And here's what's crazy. Fellowship halls all echo, okay? They do. It's loud. It's hard to hear anything. A lot of commotion was going on, and this really freaked me out, because I don't have this ability as a dad. I'd be off here with Anna, and Christy would cry off in another room, and it was like she could hear. Am I right? That's a mom thing, right? Explain that to me. I don't understand how that can be, but you know, she would just be talking, and suddenly I hear Christy. I mean, how many of you moms are like that? That's being swift to hear. That needs to be our attitude when it comes to God's word. Some people, God just has to whisper and they hear. You know, my wife is like that spiritually. I'm not always like that. Sometimes God has to hit me with a 2x4, but she, just a little whisper, she hears. That needs to be our attitude, swift to hear. And if you don't have that ability, would you ask him? Lord, I want to be swift to hear whatever you speak to me in your word. And how about the second part, slow to speak? Slow to speak. There's a reason, of course, God gave us 2 ears and a mouth, right? And we've all heard this. And remember, we're talking about our attitude towards God's word, the tendency. I've done it plenty of times. I open up the word and sometimes, and I'm getting better at this, sometimes I think, well, how would a United Methodist read this passage? What am I doing? I'm telling the word what I want it to say. How many of you have done that? Again, we're talking about attitude. Swift to hear, slow to speak. Before we try to tell God's word what we want it to say, we need to let it speak. We need to let it soak down. Or how about this? I've been in the ministry 26 years. I've seen this a lot, the holy nudge. You know, the preacher says something, and maybe a wife thinks the husband needs to hear this. You know what I'm talking about? It's easy sometimes to apply God's word to everyone except the one person often who really needs to hear it, which is ourselves. David, do you ever get nudged? Rick's not here. I can't pick on him. But you guys know what I'm talking about. Things get a little uncomfortable. I've been there. You've been there. We've all been there. God's word speak. It's alive. It's active. It starts getting uncomfortable inside, and suddenly we just, hey, I can't deal with this. This is something you need to hear. Slow to speak. Don't tell God's word what you want it to say. Let it, through the Holy Spirit, speak to you. So 2 main keys. If you don't hear anything else this morning, our attitude towards God's word, verse 19, swift to hear, think of the baby, and slow to speak. Watch your tongue. Just stop. Let God speak. Amen? And we'll continue to talk about growing in the scriptures next week, and then the following week we'll talk about sharing from the scriptures. But I invite you to go ahead and stand and pray, and I'm going to invite the musicians to come up to prepare for communion. So, Father, we're grateful for your word. And sometimes it's so easy to kind of rush through thinking, okay, if I'm going to get through the Bible in a year, I need to read 2 chapters Old Testament, 1 chapter New, a proverb and a psalm, when sometimes what we just need to do is stop and just read until you speak. And it might just be one word out of one verse. Forgive us when we rush our time with you. Forgive us when we have an agenda with you and your word instead of allowing you to have your agenda with us through it. So, Lord, I just invite you to take us as a congregation on a journey how to grow in your word, beginning first of all with our attitude. Help us to realize it's not a book. It is the living, active word of God. And Lord, would you just renew a commitment each one of us has to be excited about your word, to get up in the morning saying, what do you have for me? And instead of trying to master the word, we ask that you master us through it. So Lord, help us to be swift to hear, slow to speak. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that maybe has deceived themselves thinking that they're right with you when in fact they have really no real relationship. They know all about you, but maybe they don't really know you personally. Would you just invite them this morning to open their heart and allow you in to this radical journey that will make life worth living? And to anyone who's doing that or anyone that's coming back to you this morning, we praise your name. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. And all the people said, amen. We're going to sing Breathe. And we're going to prepare our hearts for communion with this song.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe.